Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, verse 8. We are going to pick it up at verse 37. I know it says 42, but we're going to pick up at verse 37 through 47. Now hear God's word. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father, therefore you also do the things which you've heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you're seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come from my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and is the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you're not of God. Thus far ends the reading. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for, again, giving us the encouragement and the strength and the truth of your word. Please bless us now as we would hear it proclaimed by our brother. Grant him a joy and a fidelity to this truth. And we ask, Lord, that you would give him a convicting power, even of his own heart as well as ours. And we ask, Father, that you would give us each a sense of your presence and that we would be mindful of our responsibility to be thankful, to be repentant, and to be grateful for serving you, our mighty God. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated.
There we go. We are in John 8, verses 37 through 47, and I've changed the name of the sermon, the title for the sermon. When you try to select a title on Tuesday and you don't know what you're going to be concluding with on Thursday or Friday, you sometimes give it an adequate title. I'm doing that with the afternoon sermon as well. The title of this sermon is Paternity Test. Paternity test, that's a provocative title. But the fact is that Jesus is being quite provocative here. If you listen to the account, if you read carefully what John is describing as this contentious conversation between Jesus and the Jews, he is provoking them. It's intentional. He knows where he needs to go. They need to have a reason to kill him. And so he's using language to give them the truth, seeking, of course, their conversion if the Father will allow that, but he wants them angry. He wants them to be ready to kill him because that is what he's supposed to be facing. And if anything he said earlier in this particular conversation has offended them, this is going to offend them even more. And I changed the title to a provocative one because at the heart of the dispute between Jesus and the Jews here is the question, whose children are they? Whose children are they? Jesus in verse 37 acknowledges their physical descent from Abraham. I know that you're Abraham's children. I know you're descended from Abraham. But he raises doubts in verses 39 and 40 about their spiritual descent from Abraham. They may be physically descended from Abraham, but they're not acting like the children of Abraham whatsoever. And they respond with indignation in verse 41, and Jesus proceeds in the remainder of his response to them to set forth the reasons why he says they are not only not Abraham's children, but they're not God's children either. And this raises an important question for you and me. Whose children are we? Whose father is our father? Or what father is our father? The colloquial expression is, who's your daddy? Who is your father? And it's an important question. Who is our father, spiritually speaking? So Jesus gives us a spiritual paternity test. And there could be no more important test that we could take. The dispute begins with the discussion of the crowd's relationship to Abraham. He begins by telling them they do not act like Abraham's children at all. Thus we hear the exchange in verses 37 through 40. I know you're Abraham's descendants, but yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I've seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things that you heard from your father. You see the nuance there. I have one father, you have another father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you're seeking to kill me. A man who's told you the truth, which I heard from God, there he is alluding to having come from God again. This Abraham did not do. He would never have sought to kill me. He never sought to kill the servants of the Lord. You are doing the deeds of your father. Now the language is getting stronger. He's getting more provocative than ever. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. It means we're not illegitimate children. There's a very nasty word I will not use for what they're saying here. We have one father, God. And now they're committing themselves to saying they are God's children. His point is that the Jews are really deficient as the children of Abraham. They do not do the deeds of Abraham. Abraham was a man who believed God. But he also did the works of faith. But these people have no obedience of faith whatsoever. What does that mean? He tells them, very simply, you are seeking to kill me. Abraham would never be doing what you're doing. He's not ignorant of what's in their hearts. He knows what's in their hearts. And he knows perfectly well what the scribes and Pharisees are trying to do. They want him to say things that they can take to court, convict him, and crucify him with. And there's a reason for their responses in verses 38 and 41. Jesus says in verse 38, I speak the things which I have seen or heard from my Father, what thy Father has shown me. But you do the things that your Father has told you. In other words, you have a different father than I do. You have a different father than I do, and that makes them really indignant. And not only do they say in verse 39, Abraham is our father, but they say, we have one father, God. In other words, we are the children, not just of Abraham, but we are the children of God. They hear the insult and take it to, for him to be saying they're illegitimate children. But that raises the question of how does Jesus come to his conclusion? How does he conclude these are not the children of God? And he's ready to answer them in verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. Now he's got them angry. They know who the devil is. He's the one who tempted Adam and Eve in the garden. He's the one who tested Job with God's permission. And he could not have said anything more provocative, anything more calculated to get them angry. But that's where they are. And he goes on to say, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks, he speaks a lie, and he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. In other words, you're lying. You believe the lies of your father, and you're doing the deceitful things that your father is teaching you to do. So two fathers, Jesus' father and the father of the Jews, who is not Abraham but the devil. And that raises the question of the paternity test. And I want to administer this paternity test to you by applying what Jesus says to the Jews here to your life by way of questions. First question, how do you know if the devil is your father? Now, I'm being provocative, but that's on purpose. How do you know if the devil is your father? Well, look at the devil's character. His dearest desire, Jesus says he was a murderer from the beginning. Look at the devil's character, and his dearest desire has ever been to thwart God's will and destroy man in general. And that meant also destroying Jesus in particular. That was his ambition from the very beginning. That's why he entered the garden and took possession of a serpent. That's why he did what he did with Adam and Eve. And he successfully killed spiritually mankind. Successfully spiritually killed Adam and Eve. He started with Adam and Eve when he tempted them in the garden, and that's why Jesus says he was a murderer from the beginning. Jesus calls him what he is. And after that, after he succeeded in tempting Adam and Eve, he worked hard to destroy the family line of Jesus by tempting his forefathers, Abraham, David, Solomon. Go down the line of those who are in Jesus' family line from Abraham, and you see what he did. You see what he tried to do. If he could wipe out the family line of Jesus, make them do nothing but sin, his hope was that he could destroy them and thus prevent Jesus from being born. And then when Jesus was born, of course, he tried to kill him through Herod. And then when Jesus was born, in spite of his best efforts, he directly tempted Jesus into disobeying his father in the desert. And if he had succeeded in that, the father would have had to kill Jesus. He did his best and he failed. So how do you know if the devil is your father? The devil is your father if you resemble him and if you want to do the same things that he has done, the same things that he does. You are the child of the devil, and the devil is your father if your life is characterized by lies and deceit. Look, he was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Do you lie? Is that your habit? You seek to deceive others. You seek to deceive your family. You seek to deceive your brothers and sisters in Christ. You seek to present yourself as something you are not. If you do that, your father is the devil. How do you know if the devil is your father? You do not believe the words of Jesus or obey them by trusting in him. Verse 45. Because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. When you doubt the truth of Scripture, you're acting like a child of the devil. If that's your life's habit, then the devil is your father. Whatever else you may say, the devil is your father. If that's your lifestyle, if that's your habit, you can't claim to be a son of the Father in heaven. You're a son or a daughter of the devil. And the devil is your father if you refuse to surrender to God and trust in Jesus for salvation. And that means the devil is your father and not God. He was of God, hears the words of God, verse 47. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you're not of God. When someone comes to you and says, this is what God says, and you say to yourself, well, I just don't believe it, that's far more serious than you would think. Far more serious than you would think. You may be a real Christian, but when you don't believe the words of God, you're at least acting like a child of the devil. Who is your father? Who is your father? And I warn you now that if these things are true of you, then your soul is on the brink of eternal destruction in hell. And I say to you in all earnestness, repent before it's too late. You may be one who knows you're not a Christian, but you've been fooling the rest of us for a long, long time. But you're not fooling the Lord God. You're not fooling Jesus Christ. And you're on your way to hell. I can't read your heart. None of us can read your heart. But whose child are you, really? Who is your father, really? I can't answer that for you. You need to talk about it, talk to me, talk to one of the elders, talk to Pastor Bob in private. We'll be happy to counsel with you. So that's how you know the devil is your father. You act like him, you live like him, you think like him, you speak like him. On the other hand, how do you know if God is your father? Well, Jesus says some very tender and touching things here. First, if God is your father, you love Jesus. And this touches my heart. If God were your father, you would love me. Well, that's precisely the opposite of what the people in this account are saying. They really hate him. If God were your father, you would love me. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. He's been saying that since way back in chapter 5, chapter 6, I was sent by God. The Jews should love Jesus as the one who was sent by God, but they do not believe God sent him, and therefore they do not love him. He is the gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. They ought to be clinging to him as their only hope. They ought to love him because he's come to give himself for their sins. And you and I ought to love him for the same reason. I could go on for a while looking at the things he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But you know that if you're a Christian. If you do not love Jesus, whatever else you may say, God is not your father. Do you love Jesus? How do you express that love for Jesus? I love you, Jesus, goes just so far. The singing of hymns goes just so far. But he said it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. At the very least, you'll want to keep them. And will be distressed if you find it hard to keep them. Do you love Jesus? Then God is your father. Second, if God is your father, you're able to understand and accept the words of Jesus as the word of God. Verse 47, he who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear him. Hear them, because you're not of God. You're not God's son. God is not your father at all. You may say indignantly to me, we have one father, even God, but God is not your father because you will not hear the words of God from my mouth. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. On the contrary, those who will not hear his voice are not his sheep and they're not God's children. That these people do not hear his voice, that they do not believe he is speaking God's words means God is not their father. Read verses 45 to 47 all over again. They're not his children. God is not their father. And if you do not believe, if you do not hear and believe Jesus' words are the words of God, then God is not your father. You cannot separate Jesus from his word, because his words are the words of God. You don't want the words of the Son. You don't want the words of the Father. You're not a son or a daughter of God. Let me put this a little more positively for you. If you love Jesus and believe God has sent him to save you from your sins, then God is your Father. You've been born from above by the power of God. God is your Father. If you believe the words of Jesus are in fact the words of God, then God is your Father. You couldn't believe it any other way. No one but a true son or daughter of God will love and believe and obey Jesus. No one. And that's not going through the motions of doing what he says. You're doing it from the heart, and you're grieved when you fail to do it from the heart. You know you're not perfect. You know that. And you know that you often fail. But the key point is, these things grieve you. If your heart is broken and you're not living the way Christ has commanded you to live, it grieves you that you're disobeying your Father in heaven. That's real proof that God is your Father. That's real proof that you're born from above. You see how Jesus' words are coming together now in a practical way, from the words to Nicodemus to everything else he said to this point. This argument is coming to a head. You either love me and obey me and listen to my words, or you don't. And if you don't, you're of your father, the devil. If you do, then you're of your father, even God himself. That's the dividing point. That's the key point. Love for and faith in Jesus and his words are proof positive that you are a son or daughter of God. Now, do I hear you saying, but I sin so much and I'm so disobedient that I can scarcely believe God is my Father? Do I hear you say it's hard for me to believe I'm even saved? Oh, but you see, if you can say that and mean it, then you do love Jesus and you do want to do his word. What you need to do on a regular basis, and not just at night but throughout the day, is always remember to confess your sins each day, but then return to his gracious promise. And this is what Jesus says elsewhere. The one who comes to me, I will never cast out. No one who comes to me will I ever cast out. What you need is something to fortify your faith, and boy, do we have something for you this morning. We have just the thing you need. Come this morning to the Lord's Supper and take and eat his body and take and drink his blood. For his body is real food and his blood is real drink. And then you will find rest for your souls. Let us pray.